Well, since I drew the short straw, I have to be short, right? Is that the way that goes? It's hard enough to normal time to keep people awake, so this is a tough one. That's all right. Just real quick, turn to Romans chapter 15. This is a passage that I've been thinking about this week and read several times. And I know it's near the end of the book of Romans, and a lot of times people talk about chapter 14 and 15 being about doubtful disputations and things like that, and our relationship with our brethren. And there's some topics here in chapter 15 that to me are things that we never need to forget. And I know I have to constantly be reminded of these things as well. And it's basically dealing with our relationship with our brethren and certain things that we need to keep in mind. And I just want to bring out three brief points this afternoon from this chapter. Let's start in chapter 15 of the book of Romans, verse number 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Then skip down to verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So I thought through this passage here again. At the beginning of the passage here, Paul is instructing them. Basically, there's two different categories that he's dealing with. Those that are strong and those that are weak. And the idea here is that those that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak. So I wanted to bring out maybe just three quick points from these verses that we've read. The first one is come across to me as patience with our brethren. Patience with our brethren. Later we'll look at unity with our brethren. And then finally, we'll look at belief with our brethren. So patience, unity, and belief. Three things that are emphasized here by the Apostle Paul that let's look at quickly this afternoon. That word bear in verse number 1. Them that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. It means to take up with your hands. It means to go out and grab the burden and carry that burden. It's I guess we see less and less of that in our culture today. And sometimes, I have this bad habit of when I'm out and about, I've got one thing on my mind and I'm going for one thing. And sometimes I forget to look around for people that need help. Or maybe you're out in Walmart or at a parking lot or something. I've done this before. Maybe one time it scared the poor woman half to death. Maybe I should have been more careful. I saw an elderly lady loading up all these groceries and things. And I just ran over and said, ma'am, let me help you. And at first she was like, what is this psychotic bald guy doing over here? But I helped her load her groceries up. I try to watch for things like that. It's bearing up a burden. Someone's struggling. We'll go help them carry that burden. Help them ease their load. And that's the idea here spiritually, that there are some that are more mature perhaps in the faith. There's some more that maybe have been Christians for a longer period of time. Some that have walked with God through a variety of trials and temptations and circumstances and tribulations, and they know a lot about these things. And yet there's perhaps a younger Christian, one that hasn't come as long with the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're just, maybe they're new Christians, for example. But the opportunity we have to bear that burden, to find the patience with our brethren to be able to help them. And I know sometimes we all lose sight of that. Verse number 1, again, not to please ourselves. Don't look after just yourself, but there's an opportunity to help that younger brother. There's an opportunity to help them grow closer to the Lord and point them to Christ. Point them to passages of Scripture, perhaps. Verse number 2, it's pleasing our neighbor. Why? For his good to edification. I think sometimes, and again, that word edification, we all know what that means. Please means to accommodate, to help out for the purpose of building up our neighbor, to see them grow, to see them almost being constructed. What is our motive many times, perhaps? I know situations come up perhaps with our brethren or those that we know, our relationships, and perhaps we sometimes are very critical. What's the purpose of being critical? To make them feel bad and make us feel better about ourselves? Or is it for the purpose of, I want to help advise, I want to help instruct, I want to help edify this weaker one? Perhaps they have a background that is different than mine. Perhaps they're from a situation where they don't know as much about the Bible as I know. So instead of having a prideful attitude with that, The purpose is not to please ourselves, but for their good, to edify them. What's our motive in those things? As we seek to help our brethren, is it truly to help build them up? Do we want to see each other growing in the things of the Lord? We look at our young people, perhaps, and even our young children that we have in the church here. Do we have a desire in our hearts to see them edified, to see them built up? You say, sure, there's teenagers, and teenagers go through a lot of things. We all were teenagers at one time or another, and we go through a lot of things. Well, are we there to help edify them, to help build them up, or to critical to the point of pride where we just want them to feel terrible about how they are or what they're doing? So an idea here to edify each other. The example of Christ is mentioned in verses 3 and 4, and that's where I got the idea of patience with the brethren. Patience with those perhaps that are still learning. Verse 4, there's many things written for our learning, but what? Through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we can give people hope. We can help people grow in the Lord. And again, the emphasis in verse 4, it's through what? The Scriptures. You know, many times we can turn to the field of psychology, we can turn to philosophy, we can turn to all these methods and things that the world perhaps would promote, and psychological evaluations, and they may be needed in cases. But what about the Scriptures? If we're going to build each other up and have a relationship with our brethren that we're trying to please them for their good and to be patient to help them grow if we're stronger and they're weaker, whatever the case may be, are we doing that patiently, bearing under, but with the tool of the Scriptures? If we're trying to do our own, you know, manipulative ways or psychological ways, we're not going to help them grow in the things of Christ. But it's back to the Scriptures. So to have patience with our brethren, you know, we don't know all the situations that people go through. That has been more and more evident to me the longer that I've been in the Christian school ministry. It's something that Mrs. Pepper and I talk about quite a bit. We have a variety of families in our school, for example. We have a variety of young people that come from in unbelievable backgrounds. And you would never know unless you got to talking or finding out those things. And it kind of puts some background, some context in it of where people are. We've got in our school sometimes grandparents raising grandkids, and kids that have been through terrible situations, and now others are taking care of them. And we have to keep those things in perspective, and they may be in different areas along the way of their growth. So is our purpose going to be to edify them and point them to the Scriptures instead of making pre-conclusions perhaps about them? Or, well, if that was my kid, I would do blah, blah, blah. Well, we don't know the whole situation with that kid. We don't know the whole situation perhaps with that student or that young person. And so, yes, it's a wonderful opportunity to instruct, to bring the Scriptures to them, to help them. That's why the Lord has given us this body of believers together, to help build each other up around the Word of God, around the Scriptures, because look at the end of verse 4. What is the end goal of being patient with your brethren and helping them grow? That they might have hope. You know, there is not much hope out in the world. The world will go to a variety of different things. They'll try one thing after another, looking for satisfaction, looking for hope, looking for something to try to get out of their situation of trouble perhaps that they're in. But in the Scriptures, people can have hope. Let's move on quickly. Not just patience with the brethren, but notice in verse number 6, verses 5 and 6, Paul brings out unity with the brethren. To be unified, look at verse number 5. He talks about being like-minded toward another. Well, that means we all need to have the same mind, but if we're going to have the same mind, notice in verse 5, what do we have to do? According to who? Christ Jesus. I know this is something that our pastors emphasize many times as he's preached over the years that I've heard him, is that he wants to preach God's Word. He wants to have Christ presented, and he tells us many times, go check the Bible. Follow me as I follow Christ is what Paul said. And so where is the unity of like-mindedness going to come from? It's when all of our minds are unified in Christ. And when the Word of God is honored and Christ is honored, that's something we can unify around. It's difficult many times perhaps with those in the world that may not know Christ. Yeah, you may have a relationship with them, you may be friendly with them, but there's always something missing, isn't there? There's that little further deep factor of fellowship that you can find with believers. You can find that unity. You know, and many of you perhaps have traveled in different places. I know Pastor went to the Philippines and I've been to South America and other places, and the believers down there, you're almost immediately unified. Why is it that Pastor could go to the Philippines and was unified with that church? Because of Christ. There's the same mind. They have the mind of Christ. We want to have the mind of Christ. There's a unity there. And what should that unity do toward each other, verse 6, so that we can with one mind and one mouth glorify God? Isn't it wonderful to gather in times of worship, to sing songs of praise to the Lord together, to hear from God's Word together, and to do it in unity of mind? I wonder what the Lord hears as Grace Bible Church worships God. Is it going up to God as one mind and one mouth? That brings honor and glory to His name. I wrote this in my Bible years ago. I don't even remember where I heard it from. I may have heard it here, but for some reason I wrote it down. It said, one mouth and one mind comes from one Word of God. And so as we again center our mind and focus on the Word of God in our lives, their unity will come with those that are also focused on the Word of God. Let's unify around that thing which is common, about that which is consistent, about that which is stable, about that which is unchanging, and that is God, His Word, and His Son, Jesus Christ. And then look down to verse number 13. I skip verses 8 through 12. Basically, in those verses, Paul is saying, he mentions the Gentiles multiple times there. Verse 9, verse number 10, Gentiles again. Verse 11, Gentiles. Verse 12, Gentiles mentioned twice. It's almost as if he's saying there's not some separation with God. You may not think those Gentiles are worthy to be in with the Lord. Again, we're making judgments. The strong Christians, oh, well, those little Gentiles over there, they're weaker. I don't know that Christ didn't come for them. Well, Paul's bringing out passage in situations where the Lord is saying the Gentiles are also going to trust in the Lord and the Gentiles are going to praise the Lord. In other words, it's open to all people. We could go to the book of Revelation even and we could read where there was a multitude from all nations that spoke with almost one mind and voice to give glory to Christ. And we can be a part of that unified multitude, glorying Christ for all of eternity. But verse number 13, to be a part of that, to fulfill and be part of the Gentiles that are able to honor the Lord and rejoice in verse 10 and praise the Lord in verse number 11 and verse number 12, to trust in the Lord. What is the key? Verse number 13, it is belief. Look at verse 13. Now the God of hope, there's our word again, hope. Not going to find it outside of the Lord. I don't know how people can function in this world with all the tragic things that happen and the terrible things that happen and situations that arise in their life without the Lord. If you have hope in the Lord, you can make it through these situations and you can continue to trust Him. Well, the God of hope will do this for you. He'll give you joy and peace in believing. Now, I get concerned whenever I see sad young people or sad people in general. I know I say young people because I'm with them all day. You see sad young people in school, or you see sad people in life. You know what's missing there? It's belief. It's belief. Because God says here that if you have belief, then you will be overflowing with joy and peace. Joy and peace. There's no reason, as our pastor mentioned, to be glum and sad and woe is me and just walking around, well, this is a terrible life I have here. Are we really believing? Are we really having the hope that God's given us? He says that beyond that, your hope will abound through the power of the Holy Ghost. As God is living through us, as His Spirit is helping us in the relationships with our brethren, as He's helping us with our patience and with our unity, and as we continue to believe in the Lord, this hope is going to abound. This hope is going to be stronger and stronger in our lives. You know, I'm very, very glad that we have a hope. You know, I don't really think about it much. If I was to drop dead tomorrow, that would be wonderful for y'all, I'm sure. I have hope that I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't have a question about that. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit, His power is in my heart. And He's witnessing with my spirit, as Paul said earlier in the book, that I'm a child of God. And the hope is abounding. that the Lord's in control, that all things are going to work together for good, that even if I go from this physical earthly life, I'm going to just keep on living right with the Lord, right into eternity. And so the patience with our brethren as we work together, as we worship together, as we have relationships together, to bear up those that might be weaker, to help those grow and to be edified. There may be times in that growth process where you have to be harsh and stern. There may be times we have to confront sin in that growth process. But what's the goal? Not to be mean and hateful, but to be edifying, to see them built up, because we truly want each other to be built up in the Lord, to have that unity in our worship here, even at Grace Bible Church, and then to continue abounding in our belief. I believe that God's people should be some of the happiest people on earth. We know the future. We know what the Lord's done for us. We're delivered from our sins. There's nothing to be sad about, but to have the joy, and even there in verse 13, the peace. Peace. Just calmness that everything's okay. The terrible things could happen, and we read of terrible things that happen. Loss of loved ones, or cancer situations, or difficulties, and we see the evils of our world today, and people doing terrible things, and committing crimes, and sinful things, and we can still have peace. Because we know the Lord. We know that He's in control. We know that He does those things for our good. So let's continue believing in our Lord so that we can abound more and more with this hope. Father, I thank You so much for this church. I thank You for the people here. And I pray, Lord, that You would continue to increase our desire to edify each other, our desire to build each other up. Lord, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes it requires difficulties. It requires confronting sin sometimes. It requires being honest with where we are with God. It requires us to remove our pride. But Lord, I pray that we would continue to grow and be built in the things of the Lord. Lord, thank You for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus this afternoon. Lord, thank You so much for all that Christ has done for us, for the peace that we have inwardly. Though the world may rage around us, peace in our souls, the joy and happiness we can know in Christ, and the great hope we have of eternity to be with our Lord, the one that has done all these things for us. We thank You so much, God, for Your sovereignty, for Your plans, for Your purposes, and for allowing us to be, even as Gentiles, to be Your people. We give You praises afternoon during this service. In Christ's name, amen.